We have been working our way through the book of Romans, and we have made it all the way to Romans chapter 9, verse 14. So if you take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 14. This is really part of a section that started in verse 4. We'll go on down through verse 24, and we've been spending many weeks here and just breaking that down to understand what the Apostle Paul was really referring to when he was telling the Church of Rome, the Jews in the Church of Rome, what they needed to know concerning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And in this section, he's talking about who God saves, how he goes about that. And I'll again admit that this is a controversial chapter, especially in the realm of Calvinism and Arminianism. And so we gave you some background as we approached that, and you'll get another feel for that as we go into it today. There is a song that I learned when I first came to know Christ as my Savior. I was 11 years old, so it is a kid's song, but it has an adult application. The song, and I'm not a singer, so this is your punishment for today. Take it with grace. God can give you something that you cannot handle, and that's me singing. But we'll see if His grace and mercy can sustain you today. One door and only... I can't even sing it. But one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Good song. It's asking the most important question that you could ever ask a person. Are you on God's side? Are you part of those that will be in heaven? Or are you part of those that will be on the outside in hell? On which side are you? Paul's been answering that. Chapters 3 and 4 of Romans, we spent quite a bit of time in those two chapters, but he was very clear that a person comes to God not in their own merit, not in their works, but by faith, believing in what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary for us. And now we come to chapter 9, and I don't believe he changes his opinion here and says, well, it's not just by faith, that there's another thing, and that's whether God chose you or didn't choose you. And so Paul's been very clearly saying God could have done it any way he chose, but he did it this way. And so Paul begins to say how God didn't do it. And so he starts with the Jewish audience that he has, and he says, some of you are trusting that you're going to be in heaven simply because you were born a Jew. You are an ethnic Jew, and you think that that's going to give you eternal life. And then he talks about what true Israel is. He gives Ishmael as an example of that, but he talks about true Israel, and he says some of those that are part of the true Israel are even Gentiles. True Israel are those who are children of the promise, not those that are born physically. And he compares, he gives two examples. He makes a statement, you're not on the inside because of your ethnicity. And he gives the example of Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, probably because of his ethnicity, deserved to be on the inside. But Ishmael was on the outside. Isaac was the chosen one. Now, he's talking about the nation for which Christ would come, not necessarily salvation, but it brought salvation to us. But he's using that as an example that God could do it any way he chose. Then he addresses the area of works. And he says, you were given the law and you thought that you could keep the law so perfectly that God would let you be on the inside because of your works. But really, your works will keep you on the outside. If you're trusting in what you have done, you will be on the outside. He gave Esau and Jacob as the example of this. But it's by faith. It's apart from your works. He says God chose Jacob over Esau before they were even born. It had nothing to do with what one works would, what one would do or one wouldn't do. Today we're going to talk about desire and effort. Is it by one's will? Is it by how well he runs that he is on the inside or outside? And if you're trusting in your desire, if you're trusting in your sincerity, we'll say, or your will, guess what? Or your works, you will be also on the outside. Instead, and he gives Pharaoh as the example, instead it's by the mercy of God. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he gives Moses as the example. So let's look at that. Turn to Romans chapter 9 and look at verse 14. Starts right off here and he says this. Romans chapter 9 verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. He knows that what he's presenting will cause a question mark to come in the mind, the Jewish mind, and say, nah, that we haven't been raised that way. We haven't been taught that. This cannot be true. This seems unjust. This seems that it's unrighteous. It's not the right thing to do. This is very similar to what he said in verse 6 when he says, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel." He knows the Israelite mind is going to question that. You mean a person who wasn't chosen by God to be a part of the nation of Israel? You mean a person who hasn't even been keeping the law can be saved, can be forgiven, can receive the mercy of God? How's that possible? That they're not Israel, and yet you're going to say they become Israel? That was they were questioning it. And then they come to verse 10 and or verse 14. He's questioning it again. Now, the reason I put this up here like this is I want you to understand what they're questioning. Because some will say they're questioning whether God has the right to choose who can be saved and who can't be saved. Well, I believe God has the right to choose that. But I don't believe that he chose certain ones and rejected others. That's not what they're even questioning here. The Jewish mind didn't question, oops, wrong button. Just a second here. The Jewish mind didn't question the fact that Isaac was chosen over Ishmael. They understood that. They accepted that. They understood that the line of Christ would come through that. They didn't question that God chose Jacob over Esau. That wasn't part of their questioning. Or they accepted Moses over Pharaoh. Definitely not that. Do you know what they were questioning? Paul, we're compared to Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. We're the ones God chose. But you're telling us we're really more like Ishmael, Esau, and God forbid, Pharaoh too? That's unrighteous. That cannot be the case. You're telling us we're on the outside when we thought we were on the inside? That's the question that's being addressed here in this passage. So here's the passage. It's verses 14 through 18. I want to just give you a quick outline here. In verse 14, he's introducing it. They're questioning again. He's introducing the question that's in their mind. Paul, you're putting us out there? We're Jews. You're putting us out there? We've kept the law. We've even made new laws to keep. That's how diligent we are in keeping this. How can we be on the outside and not on the inside? And then, like he's done two other times that we've looked at when it came to ethnicity, when it came to works, he gives an example and he sandwiches the point in between here. So example one, the point that he's going to get at, so then, it is not him who wills or him who runs, but God who shows mercy. This is Paul's point in these passages. He gives another example. So you got Moses as the first example, you got Pharaoh as the second example, and then he concludes again in verse 18, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. So let's read that right straight through. You kind of got the outline here. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not him who wills or of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Now, again, this is on the negative side of it. He's telling what basis God does not use in choosing us. He doesn't choose it based on the sincerity of the person, on what he desires or what he wills. He doesn't base it on how hard he runs, the effort that he puts into it. God has mercy on whom he will have mercy. He doesn't tell us the basis, though, for the mercy. Then what is the basis that God uses? Well, the reason he doesn't, he's already done that in the first part of Romans. A person is saved by faith through Christ. That's the conclusion that he comes to even in this chapter in verses 30 through 32 there. He says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness? Are you telling me that on the inside of this door, the ones who are like Jacob, the ones who are like Israel, the ones who are like Moses are Gentiles? And you're telling us that we're on the other end of that? Well, that's exactly what he's saying. The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Who does God choose to make righteous? It's on the basis of faith, verse 30. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. They're on the outside. They've been pursuing it. They've been running after it. They've been desiring it with their will. But they've been doing it in all the wrong ways. They haven't obtained it. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. That's the reason. This is Paul's conclusion. This is what Paul is getting at here. And this is just emphasizing the exact same thing. So let's start in the middle. Let's start with the point, and then we'll broaden. We already did the introduction and talked about what was the real issue. The issue is, why are we on the outside? This does not seem righteous. We're working at it harder than the Gentiles. So how could the Gentiles be on the inside and we're on the outside? They haven't been seeking righteousness, but they are righteous. Verse 30. And we've been seeking righteousness, but we're not. God, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem fair to us. So he says, let me make my point here. The one who wills, the one who desires, the one who is sincerely seeking it, the Jews, have not. Romans 10, verse 2 and 3 explains just how zealous they were towards righteousness. It says, for I bear them witness that they have, referring to the Jews, a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Do you know what this should make us think and worry about right away? That we're out of time. That's what it should make us worry about. You know what it should make us worry about? It's possible to be very sincere and be wrong. Have you ever heard someone say, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? That's a lie. That's Satan's lie. Because that's exactly what Paul's saying here. They desired it. They willed it. But they were going about it not knowledgeable, and not by faith. They were going about it trying to obtain their own righteousness, instead of the righteousness that we obtain through faith. They didn't realize they weren't able, did they? They thought they were able. They could earn it. They could work towards that. And so Paul says that's not the case. And it says he also, they run after it. They're striving for this. They were working harder for it than others. So we can work our hardest to obtain the inside and still not receive it. And somebody else who's not working as hard as we are can get it. Is that righteous? That's what they're asking in verse 14. Is that right for that to happen? Did they strive for it? They sure did. We already read that in verses 30 and 31. The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. They weren't running after it, but they got it. And then he says, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Do you know what that means then in our day and age? There's a lot of people who are striving. I don't even have my notes up. I have a baby dedication up here. That's not going to work here. They are striving for it and not obtaining it. They might be going to church every day, pursuing righteousness, their own righteousness. And as a result, they don't get it. They don't obtain it. I read a good example of that. There was a dear old lady, all her life, this is not a true story. Old ladies are dear. That's true. Most. Don't look at your mom. Imagine a dear old lady who all her life was faithfully attending mainline Protestant church in her small town in a Bible Belt. She has helped with the nursery, children's ministry, worked in the kitchen during socials, served the Women's Missionary Society. Everyone who knows her says that she is the sweetest person they know. She's married to a mean old cuss. Now you can look at your parents, your dad, who has no time for religion. He says that church is full of hypocrites and do-gooders. Why should he hang out with people like that? He prefers his buddies at the local tavern who can tell some good off-color jokes, place a friendly bet on a football game, and who swap stories about their latest fishing and hunting adventures. He would rather that his wife not go to church, but years ago he realized that it gave him freedom to go fishing on Sunday morning. He jokes that he's going to baptize a few worms while she gets her religious fix for the week. If you were to ask her, on what basis do you hope to get to heaven? The question would shock her. Why would you even ask? If she could find words to reply, she would say, well, all good people go to heaven. I've always tried my best to be nice to others. I've served at church in various ways. I've always been able to ignore the mean comments my husband makes that hurts me. God knows that I've done my best as the best that I could. I feel that I will go to heaven because I'm a good person. Lately, her husband hasn't been feeling very well, but like most tough old geezers, he avoids the doctors like a plague. But finally, he gets worried enough that he schedules an appointment. The doctor runs a few tests and then gently gives him the bad news. You've got advanced cancer. If you had come a few years ago, we might have gotten it. But there's not much that we can do. You might have a few months to live. He goes downhill fast. So they arrange for hospice care. One day, the hospice worker, whom he likes, is able to share the gospel with him. She tells him that God offers forgiveness for all his sins as a free gift if he will repent of his sins and trust in Christ, what Christ did for him on the cross. She leaves him a gospel of John. Since he knows his time is short, he devours it. As he reads, God opens his eyes and he sees his sin and his need for the Savior. He sees that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of all who trust in him. He puts his trust in Christ, dies a few weeks later, and goes to heaven. His wife wouldn't ever say it, but she secretly was relieved that he was gone. He was always so difficult to live with. She continues with all of her religious activities through the church. A few years later, she dies. Because she was trusting in her own righteousness, this nice old lady goes to hell. She had never trusted in Christ as the necessary perfect righteousness that God gives to all who believe. Now that story is not true in reality, but it's true in everyday life all the time. There are a lot of people that think that they can earn their righteousness. They can will it. They can desire it. They can be sincere. They can work. They can run towards that. They can put all the effort that the Jewish people did. And then Paul comes along and says, guess which side of the door you're on? You're on the outside. But guess who's on the inside? Gentiles who don't even follow the law? Gentiles who haven't been chosen by you for the Savior to come through their nation? You've chosen Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, and you're comparing the Gentiles to them or those who are true Israel to them, but you're putting us in the category of Ishmael and Esau and Pharaoh? What's righteous about that, God? And Paul says, God can have mercy on whoever he chooses to have mercy. Now, I don't have time to compare Moses with Pharaoh here today. But Moses, when God called him and God said that he would send them with the nation of Israel, Moses said, don't let me go without you. I want your presence with us. As a matter of fact, if you don't go with us, I don't go. I'm just like any other man if you're not with me. What was Moses basing his faith on? What was Moses basing his righteousness on? And then Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, who's your God? I'm God around here. I don't need your God. What happened to Pharaoh? He died. God will have mercy on whom he has mercy. But Paul's already explained earlier what that is. So I got two questions, or a couple questions in answer. Is there anything in this passage that tells us the basis for whom God shows mercy? And the answer is no. The basis isn't that God picks and chooses certain ones over others. I don't know where you come up with that idea if you did. He already explained it previously in Romans, the basis, it's by faith. He explains it at the end of this chapter, it's by faith. Why would it be anything different than that? But this isn't saying God's picking and choosing. He does have mercy on whom he has mercy, and he chose to do it by faith. He didn't choose it by letting you earn your righteousness. That's the point of the passage. The other question I want to ask you, is there anything in this passage that tells us that those who God hardens, like in the life of Pharaoh here, which we didn't look at, never have another chance? That he picks one and he hardens another, and the one he hardens will never come to Christ. And my answer to that is, read chapter 11. Because those whom he hardens, those who weren't even the elect, can become the elect. Can become the ones that God shows mercy. Again, the same reason, though, by faith. It's not a permanent situation, even in this passage, and he'll explain that as we get to chapter 11. We referred to that last week. So my question to you then is, which side are you? Are you on the inside or are you on the outside? If you're basing it on your desire, your zeal, your effort to be on the inside, then you're probably on the outside. But if you're basing it on the death, burial in Jesus of Jesus Christ, and by faith you've chosen to trust in him, I know which side you're on. You're on the inside. And that's what Paul's point is as he comes here. So, together we're going to close. We're going to do the song. They told me that they didn't have a closing song. You're going to be it, okay? But you're going to do the motions. If you don't do the motions with me, you're up here, okay? Fair? Paul already said it. Doesn't matter whether you think it's righteous and fair or not, okay? I can have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy when it comes to the song, not salvation, okay? Let's try it together, okay? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for the reality of this simple song that we just sang. That you, in your mercy, and your love for us sent Christ to do all the work for us. and that you chose to allow us to be on the inside simply by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to be on the inside, for we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.